Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a heavyweight breakbeat system for drum and bass inside Ableton Live 12, and the goal is simple. Make the break hit hard, make the sub feel huge, and keep the low end clean enough that the whole thing actually breathes. This is not just about stacking more bass on top of a drum loop. In D&B, the real power comes from the relationship between the break and the sub. If the break is too full down low, the sub loses authority. If the break is too thin, the track loses its jungle DNA and starts to feel sterile. So we're going to treat sampling like a system. We'll chop the break, shape it, route it, and then build the sub around it so everything locks together with purpose. First, choose the right break. You want something with attitude. Amen breaks, skull snaps, funky drummer style material, anything with strong kick and snare contrast and enough ghost note detail to keep the groove alive after chopping. Don't overthink it at this stage. If the break already has swing, character, and a little grime, that's usually a good sign. Drop the break into an audio track in Ableton. Now listen carefully before you do anything else. The source itself tells you what kind of treatment it wants. If it's mainly percussive, use Beats Mode and Warp. If it has longer tonal tails and you need to preserve that shape, then Complex Pro can work, but in most heavyweight D&B break work, Beats Mode is the cleaner choice. Set the preserve value to around 1/16 or 1/8 depending on the material, and tighten the transients if needed so the chop stays punchy. The important thing is to trim the clip so the first strong hit lands right on the grid. That little detail matters more than people think. If the break starts clean, everything you build on top of it will feel more solid. Now we slice the break into something playable. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For a more advanced workflow, slice by transient if the break has clear hits, or slice by 1/16 if you want tighter control over ghost notes and micro placement. This is where the break stops being just a loop and becomes a control signal. It defines pulse, swing, and aggression, while leaving enough room for the sub to feel oversized. Once the slices are in drum rack, organize them. Keep your kicks together, your snares together, your ghost hats and ticks together, and any toms or fill hits in their own space. Rename the pads if you need to. Delete slices you know you won't use. And if you've got duplicate hits that are basically the same tone, consolidate them so the rack stays easy to navigate. You want speed and clarity here, because later you'll be making musical decisions fast. A very useful advanced move is to bring the slice start point into the conversation. If a hit has a slightly different attack depending on where it starts, use Simpler on selected pads and map a macro to sample start. That way you can shift between a more attack-heavy version and a more body-heavy version of the same hit. This is great for making the snare feel more aggressive in the drop, or looser in the intro. Now comes the low-end cleanup, and this is a huge part of the sound. The break does not get to own the true sub region. Even if the sample feels full and exciting, you still need to make room for a dedicated sub. Put EQ8 on the break group and high pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on the sample. If it's an older jungle style break, you might leave a bit more body, but the low end still needs to be controlled tightly. If there's boxiness around 180 to 350 Hz, cut a little there. If the snare is harsh, find the bite around 2.5 to 5 kHz and tame it by a few dB. If the break is stereo heavy, use utility after EQ8 and keep the low end narrower. And here's a really important teacher note. Use clip gain or individual slice levels before compression if you can. That gives you cleaner control than trying to rescue inconsistent hits later in the chain. Clean first, process second. Now build a dedicated sub track. Use operator or wavetable, but keep it simple. A sine wave is usually enough. Maybe a tiny bit of harmonic content if the system needs help translating on smaller speakers, but don't overdo it. Keep it mono with utility. If the line needs to glide, use a little portamento, but keep it short and intentional. For rolling lines, around 40 to 90 milliseconds can work. For punchier hits, shorter is better. If needed, low pass the sub around 90 to 120 Hz so it stays pure and focused. Now the key move, write the sub around the break, not under it by default. In heavyweight D&B, the sub does not have to play constantly. It needs to arrive at the right moment. Think about the kick and snare pocket. Put the strongest sub notes under the main kick, or just after it if that groove feels better. Use shorter notes in busy sections. Leave gaps where the ghost notes need room. The sub should feel like it's answering the break, not stepping on it. A simple way to think about a two-bar phrase is this. Bar 1 gives you the core downbeat impact. Then the sub answers with a short movement before the snare. Bar 2 leaves more space for the break to breathe, especially if you're adding ghost notes or a fill. In Ableton, Use MIDI note lengths and clip envelopes to control sustain precisely. Then add a compressor on the sub with sidechain enabled from the kick, or from a dedicated ghost kick trigger if the sampled break kick is inconsistent. A fast attack, a release somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds, and just a few dB of ducking is often enough. You want the sub to hit hard, but you do not want it to smear the transient. If the break contains a strong kick already, sidechain the sub to that transient. That way you keep the impact focused without needing extra kick samples cluttering the mix. Next, we build a parallel break bus. This is where the track gets that heavier than it should be feeling. Duplicate your break group to a parallel channel and process it for density. Start with saturator. Push the drive a little, maybe 2 to 8 dB, and use soft clip if needed. Then add drum bus for extra attitude. Keep the drive subtle to moderate, add a bit of crunch if you want more edge, and only use boom if you're sure the low end is already under control. A glue compressor after that can help bind the layers together, but don't squash it into mush. A couple dB of gain reduction is usually enough. Blend this bus under the dry break. The dry break gives you detail and rhythm. The parallel bus gives you density and weight. The dry signal should still be the one that reads clearly. The parallel layer is support, not replacement. And here's a great arrangement trick. Automate that bus level into the drop. Keep it a little lower at the start for clarity, then raise it slightly in bar 9 or bar 17 so the section feels like it opens up without changing the actual loop. Now we need life inside the break. One of the biggest mistakes in heavyweight DNB is looping a break too cleanly. It becomes technically correct but emotionally flat. Ghost notes are what make the break feel alive. Add tiny hat or tick slices between the kick and snare. Put low-velocity ghost hits before the main snare to create momentum. Add pickup notes leading into bar 2 or bar 4. If you want extra tension, duplicate a snare tail slice and reverse it for a subtle pre-hit swell. Use the velocity MIDI effect or manual velocity editing to keep ghost notes around 20 to 60, while main hits sit much higher. You can humanize the ghost notes a little by shifting them slightly late, but keep the core kick and snare tight. A tiny bit of groove pool can help if the source is too rigid. But don't overdo it. Indeed, NB, too much groove can kill the punch. A strong structural idea is to let the break density evolve over time. Keep the first 8 bars fairly lean. In bars 9 to 16, add extra hat ticks and a fill every 4 bars. In bars 17 to 24, maybe bring in a snare flam or an extra top layer shaker. That kind of progression makes the track feel like it's moving forward, even if the tempo never changes. Now let's talk about bass as a system. Don't make one patch do everything. Separate your roles. Use a clean mono sub layer, a mid-bass layer for movement, and an impact layer for transient energy. The sub stays pure. The mid-bass can be a wave-eatable or analog patch with a restyled tune, but high-pass it around 90 to 120 Hz so it stays out of the sub's way. Add subtle modulation with auto-filter if you want movement. If you widen it, make sure it's only the upper part of the bass that spreads out. The low end stays centered. The impact layer can be a short filtered noise hit, a resampled bass stab, or a clip transient burst. You do not need a huge amount of it. It just needs to make the bass read as an event. In darker roller style material, let the bass answer every second bar. In more neuro-influenced sections, try syncopated 1/8 or 1/16 stabs, but keep the sub note lengths short enough that they never blur the break. Now we glue everything together with routing and automation. Group your drums separately from your bass, and keep your effects in their own lane. This makes it much easier to automate the whole system instead of treating every sound as an isolated object. A really effective arrangement approach is to start with a filtered teaser, then build tension, then let the full break and sub interaction land in the drop. For example, a 16-bar intro can be a reduced break version with sub hints. Then a 16-bar build can strip the groove down and ramp up the tension. In the drop, the main break sub relationship arrives, and by bar 9 you can add a ghost note, a bass switch up, or a little more parallel bus energy. In the second half of the drop, make it heavier by changing density, not just volume. This is one of the most important mindset shifts in the whole lesson. In heavyweight DNB, impact often comes from contrast and envelope, not volume. A short, snappy, drum transient under a slightly delayed or rounded sub can feel bigger than both being loud and perfectly aligned. If the groove feels weak, check note placement before you reach for another processor. Moving one sub note a few ticks, or shortening a snare tail, can do more for the low end than another plugin. At this point, do a mono check. Regularly, listen at low volume too. If the low end still reads when the track is quiet, you probably built it correctly. If it falls apart in mono, reduce widening on the bass and recenter the sub. Keep everything below roughly 120 Hz mono, and let the stereo excitement live above that. Once the main system feels right, resample it. In advanced DNB, resampling is not optional. It's how you turn an idea into a weapon. Soul of the break, sub, and mid-bass, then resample 8 bars of the drop to audio. Once it's in audio form, you can chop it into transition hits, reverses, fills, and switch up material. That gives you more control and more personality.